So, what do you think? I really don't know. Surprise. You know, I have an idea, but I don't really know for sure. And maybe that's kind of the point. From the early days of the early church struggled with this. Those who lived in the culture, those who knew, even those who knew Jesus, they still, it's not like it was obvious to them, so I don't think it really should be obvious to us either. It is one of those sayings of Christ that, you know, at different times in our life might call us to different understandings. I do have an idea, and I'll share that with you, but I think at the same time it's important to recognize that when Christ says something that's a little confusing, we should probably get used to sitting with that. We'll never understand fully everything that Christ is calling us to do. I do think, though, that it has something to do with being in the middle. Being in the middle when it comes to our relationship with wealth. What is dishonest wealth? That might be part of the core of the question. What is dishonest wealth? Make friends with dishonest wealth. There are a couple of different ways, I think, of viewing dishonest wealth. Over here, we have Scrooge, you know, from Charles Dickens, the Christmas, A Christmas Carol. He's a penny pincher. His relationship with wealth is one that tries to just hoard as much as possible. Squeeze every little bit out of it. Don't let a single coin go if you don't have to. This attitude is, you're a sinner, I'm a sinner, and I'm not going to trust you because I know who you are. But this isn't our dishonest steward. He doesn't hold on that tightly. He's able to see the importance of showing mercy to these other debtors who come in. He doesn't try to steal from them. He doesn't try to get them to give him the extra or a bribe or anything. He simply lowers the amount that they are due. He's not squeezing every drop out of it. Over here, though, well, there's the heir or the heiress of the billionaire, the person who's famous for being famous, never really had to work a day in their life. Their relationship with money is flippant. They don't really care. It doesn't really mean anything to them. It's their right, and there's plenty more behind the money that they currently have. They throw money away almost as if it's, you know, well, paper. Imagine. Their relationship with money is one of, you're a sinner, I'm a sinner, let's revel together in being sinners. Let us be the best sinners we can be. Let's just throw the money everywhere. They don't really appreciate it. That's also not our dishonest steward. The steward does not take these promissory notes and just rip them up and throw them to the wind. He still insists that the people pay back at least part of what they owe. He's not just throwing money around as if it doesn't matter at all. Somewhere in the middle is our dishonest steward. And I also have to wonder, the other side of the story is that the master, in a sense, himself is dishonest wealth. Now, let me explain that, because we don't have any kind of moral understanding of where he got his money or how he thinks of his money. But if we replace dishonest for a moment with unfair, then we put it in context of all of the other parables that deal with a master and a steward, someone with money and someone looking for money. If we put it in the broader context of these other parables, you may think of the workers in the vineyard. It's not fair. I worked 12 hours. This one only worked one. And you were giving us the same amount. Unfair. Unfair. But who are you, the master says, to tell me what to do with my money? Who are you? I have paid you what is just. The master in our story has an interesting relationship with his money. He both is concerned for it and the honest treatment of it, but he's also, well, really pretty merciful. The dishonest steward, well, who of you knowing that your banker or whoever handles your finances, or I don't know, anyone that you give money to, who among you, knowing that this person is cheating you, would let them keep your pocketbook? Would let them keep your financial records? That's what the master has done. Steward, you are dishonest. You are squandering my property. Here's my financial book. Make sure everything's in good order and then get out of here. I think every one of us would say that doesn't make any sense at all. Give me that book right now before you do any more damage. He lets him go out and have this relationship with his debtors. Gives him the opportunity to show them a bit of mercy as well. And he commends that dishonest steward. He commends him for acting prudently. This in-between attitude with money, this ability to be flexible, is the recognition that you're a sinner, I'm a sinner, we need redemption. We need mercy. We need to be flexible when it comes to how we deal with others and with our money, with our wealth. Does that answer the question, what does Christ mean when he says make friends with dishonest wealth? I don't know. Maybe. Maybe in between now and 3 years from now, I'll take a look at the Greek and see if I can't figure a little bit more as to what he's actually talking about. But for now, maybe that's what we need to hear. All in all, it's about flexibility, I think, and making sure that at the end of the day, we only really serve one master, God or Mammon.